Okay, morning brothers and sisters. Now we will invite Brother Teo Ken Koon to give us a Dharma sharing on the topic, which is the three turnings and 12 modes of the Four Noble Truths. Before we start, let me introduce Brother Teo. Brother Teo Ken Koon graduated from University of Malaya in Civil Engineering in 1979. He had been a spiritual practitioner cum meditator since 1971. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experiences with all of us who are keen in the search for true happiness, peace and liberation from birth and death and on all mental suffering to become a more virtuous, noble and wiser human being. He gives talks and holds meditation and Dharma classes at various meditation centers. Shall we invite Brother Teo by saying sadhu three times? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Can y'all hear me? Good. So thank you so much for that kind introduction. It's a very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. It has been quite a while since the last time I was here giving a series of Dhamma sharing invited by Brother Jim. So it's nice to be here again. I saw a lot of changes, which is very good. The puja format all different. Coming to today's topic, I think it's a very important topic. The three turnings of the Four Noble Truths as proclaimed by Lord Buddha. How many of you have heard of these three turnings? So few. Do you know this is one of the most important teachings of the Buddha? Because he spoke this teaching under his first sermon, immediately after his enlightenment, after he left that place to seek for the five ascetics who could understand him. Then when he met up with the five ascetics who were with him earlier on, he spoke this first sermon. He called it the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta, the first turning of the Dhamma wheel. And inside this teaching, he shared with the five ascetics this very important teaching, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. According to Lord Buddha, he said, before he became enlightened, even he himself has to understand this Four Noble Truths in its three turning. Because there are four noble truths, three turning, four times three, 12 modes or 12 aspects. Before he can proclaim to be the supreme enlightened Sammasambuddha. So just imagine the importance of this three turning. It actually lay out to us the cultivation process that the Buddha introduced his teaching. And this three turning, if you check the Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta, is very unique, very beautiful, and full of wisdom. The three turning correspond to the three types of wisdom that the Buddha taught. The first turning is just the proclamation of the Four Noble Truths by the Buddha. The first noble truth is the noble truth of dukkha. I believe most of you must have heard this first noble truth of dukkha. What is this first noble truth of dukkha? Sadhu. What is this first noble truth of dukkha? Louder? Nobody want to try? Yes. Ah, good. At least this is a better answer than I used to hear. I go and give a lot of talk. They used to tell me life is suffering. You heard of this before, yeah? But in actual fact, if you truly understand the first noble truth, the Buddha never say life is suffering. The Buddha say there is prevalence of suffering, just like our Dhamma, our Kayamita there mentioned. There is suffering in life. So according to the Buddha, this is a noble truth. And what are noble truths? Noble truths are his teaching. The four noble truths are the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Which means if you understand this teaching, you become noble ones. And noble ones during the Buddha's time, they are enlightened beings. They are called Aryas. Aryas in the sense that they are very noble in all aspects of life. They have right view, right understanding of life, right view with regards to all the nature's law that governs life and existence. And the Buddha gave five universal nature's law. He called it the Pancha Niyamas. The first two are scientific law, Utu Niyama, the physical law of nature, followed by Bija Niyama, which is the biological order of nature. So the scientists are very good in these two laws, nature's law, the scientific law that governs our life and existence. That's why our civilization progressed very fast when they penetrated these two nature's law, which we call scientific law. But the next three is spiritual law, which the Buddha have perfected the understanding. He called it the law of karma, karma niyama, the first one. The second spiritual law is the law of mind, citta niyama. And the third spiritual law is dhamma niyama, the law of truth. Dhamma are all the nature's truth. That's why he taught only truth. Basically, his teaching is about nature's law and truth. But because he is the Buddha, the English word, they add the ism behind. So we call it Buddhism. Yeah. If you really want to understand this teaching, you should approach it from the scientific aspect, which means it can be proven. It can stand up to investigation. So all these are very useful information. Because of these five universal order or nature's law, the Buddha is an expert in the spiritual field. That's why, like the scientist, he can understand spiritual things perfectly. If you go through the nine great virtues of the Buddha, which we just chant just now, led by Bhante, within that nine great virtue, you will come to know he is a very unique being. He is perfect in wisdom and virtue, teacher of man and God. He has a lot of great qualities which normal people cannot have. The reason being, he perfected all this understanding over a long period of time. 3¾ Asankhaya Kappas, which is like world cycle. And because of that, he has perfect understanding of the teaching. That's why he can come out with this summary of what he understands, and he call it the Four Noble Truths. And this Four Noble Truths need to be turned 3 times so that you can get the complete wisdom as taught by him. I will write the title down so that people can really follow. The three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. These three turnings are very unique teachings. Like I said just now, the first turning is about proclamation of truth. First turning. So this four noble truth, the Buddha proclaimed it. Thank you. Yeah. It will lead to the first type of wisdom, Suttamaya Panya. As your understand the Pali word. Sutta means the discourse of the Buddha. Panya means wisdom. Wisdom born of hearing the sutta. Because during the Buddha's time, you can only hear the sutta. There is no proper written language. There is no multimedia like what we have nowadays. No recording, no CD, no pen drive. You cannot communicate. You can only wait for opportunity, time to listen. If you miss his proclamation or sharing, you have to wait for Ananda to repeat, or some of his Aryan disciples. Yeah. So if you have your past cultivation, parami, immediately after you heard him speak, or not necessarily you hear from the Buddha, because that Buddha, which is 2,600 over years ago, already parinibbana. So there is no more condition for you to hear from him. But you can still have his teaching. So nowadays, we extend this Suttamaya Panya further. You can read them through the whatever material that you have. It can be in book form or in the internet form. But internet, you have to be careful. Even books, you have to be careful. Not all are authentic true teachings. So you need to have the understanding to screen them, to investigate upon them, to put them to test. Because this teaching, according to the Buddha, is very unique. It stands up to investigation. It is the truth. That's why it is very special. If you put it to test, it will never fail you. And then you know this teaching accord with nature's law, accord with life, accord with what we see and experience in society and life. That's why it's the truth. It's just like the scientists. They have to put forth the hypothesis, then put it to test, confirm, become theory. When they understand and confirm as theory, other people use it again, it stand up to investigation. That's why it become very powerful. They can have a lot of understanding because of that. Then they develop the progress that we have witnessed nowadays. So through reading, through listening or hearing, you can develop a type of wisdom. And you have your past cultivation like those monks at the time of the Buddha. When he proclaimed this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon, before he even finished, Kondanya, one of the five ascetics, became a sotapan straight away. Through hearing, nothing else. He was not meditating. He was listening attentively with the sati, or mindfulness. Attentive listening. So just through listening to the sutta, the discourse of the Buddha, he awakened. That's what the first turning is all about. So there are four Aryan truths. Each Aryan truth, the Buddha proclaimed it one time. He said, the first noble truth, and now I will come to the detail of it. The first noble truth, according to the Buddha, is about the noble truth of dukkha. He said, in our world, in our existential world, There are eight realities or conditions in life where everybody who lives long enough will have to confront. If you confront them without the wisdom, the understanding that he has realized, you will suffer. That is the meaning of the first noble truth. That's why first noble truth is about the noble truth of dukkha, suffering. There is a noble truth to explain to you the prevalence of suffering. If you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, you confront them, you will suffer. And what are the eight conditions? These eight conditions, they summarize to you all of life. Everything that you confront in life, we call it the realities of life and existence. The first four, most of us are used to hear them. But for certain people, they don't like these four. It's talking about old age, sickness and death, including birth. So these first four, as we go through life, we will develop a lot of understanding of why the Buddha said it is dukkha. Birth is suffering. Old age, sickness and death is suffering. We know. But nowadays, society, they have different terminology to relate to these four realities. If we talk about birth, old age, sickness and death, to them it's boring. They say, of all the good things, you just talk about death and disease. Forget about it. But when you tell them health problem, they will understand. They are willing to listen. Because they have witnessed a lot. Their parents, their grandparents, and even they themselves have health problem. Then when you talk about dementia, those critical diseases like heart attack, stroke, HIV, and many of all these traumatic diseases. Then when they talk about all those sickness related to old age, as we age, our senses fail us, our mechanism within our physical body starts to fail us. All the organs, they start to fail us. And as we go through life, as we age, we will experience a lot of suffering related to aging. Even you look at our Prime Minister, you think he's still very healthy? I believe he's still quite healthy, 94. But do you know he also go through a lot? But because of his understanding, he managed to maintain it and use it for a longer period. It's like how you maintain your body, like you maintain your car. You maintain it well, it will last you longer. But sooner or later, all this goes the way of nature, the Buddha said. Old age, sickness and death is a reality. That's why when he left the palace, when he saw the four signs, he straight away knew all the happiness and joy that the Father has given him, the four palaces over the four seasons, with all the wealth, everything has got no meaning. Because towards the end, he said, I have a problem. I still need to face old age, sickness, and finally death. That's why there is no solution. And that's the reason why he renounced the world and he go for. So this four reality, he need to wait till finally underneath the Bodhi tree when he developed the enlightenment, then he realized one very important understanding. He realized the five aggregate of form and mind, which is the human body or vehicle that he came, that life, was never him. Well, that one is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. No reality. It has the universal characteristics of impermanent. If you attach and cling, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that he can say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. The Buddha realized this profound truth. Anatta nature. Empty nature of existence. That's why he awakened. no more problem with birth, old age, sickness and death, because this is not him. This is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for him to come to this existential world, to live life, to do his duty, to be a blessing to all, to cultivate, to perfect himself, and to share with the world the teaching that he has realized. That's how he's free. Then he said, in life, apart from birth, old age, sickness and death, there are four more things. When there is separation, is it very traumatic? Separation from your loved ones. Separation from the things that you hold on to dearly, your prized possession, your wealth, your property. Whatever you hold on to dearly. That is the real noble truth of dukkha. He said when there is separation, separation can occur due to death. Natural death is one of them. Nature's disaster also can bring about a lot of traumatic separation through death. You have tsunami, earthquake, flood, fire, tornado, and many other things. Even building collapse. Then forced separation during wartime, crisis time. Then there is also one type of separation, relationship failure. When there is this divorce pending, when your boyfriend, girlfriend doesn't want to continue with that relationship. When your children, your brothers, your sister, they have misunderstanding, they get angry with you. Then they separate from you. These are reality that can condition suffering, misery. And because of that, the Buddha said, you need to develop this understanding before you confront them, otherwise you will be afflicted. Then the next one is when you are with people whom you don't like, the Buddha said. And who are the people whom normally we don't like before you have the Dhamma? First one that comes to mind is what? Huh? Those people who bully you. True or not? Then for ladies, maybe your mother-in-law. That one is quite obvious. Then sometimes you are not so lucky when you lose your parent when you are very young. Or sometimes one of your parents is no more, then your living parent remarry. Then you have stepmother, stepfather. They can give you problem too. Even your children who go to school, they can also have problem. People whom they don't like. Those who bully them, like gangsters and all those things. Then there is also this job environment. When you are in the midst of your career, when you have very difficult bosses. Bosses who pressure you, who stress you up. They call it management by fear and harassment. Have you experienced that? That's why a lot of young people have depression nowadays. Work pressure. Stress. They can't relate to life. And these are very traumatic, the Buddha said. When you are with people whom you don't like. Then continue the seventh one. When things don't go your way. When your expectations in life are not met. When you cannot get what you want, you become unhappy. You become miserable. And some of this can lead to depression. Then he summarized all of suffering, he said. In short, it is due to human delusion that conditions us to grasp and cling on to this fine aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. That's why he said the fine grasping aggregate, upadana khandas, is dukkha. That is the final summary. That is what you have to meditate on and realize this truth. When you realize this truth, you will realize this form and mind is not what you think. The five aggregate, you are familiar or not? How many of you haven't heard of this five aggregate? Everybody heard, huh? So easy for me, huh? What are they? What are these five aggregate? Yeah, the Buddha said, as a human being, first aspect, we have a physical body. This is our form, rupa. Then we have a consciousness trapped inside. This is our mind. And our mind, the Buddha, subdivide into four more aggregates. To understand this four aggregate of mind, the Buddha said, very easy. Inquire. Ask yourself, what can your mind do? Your mind can feel. There is a feeling aggregate, vedana. Your mind can perceive. There is a perception aggregate, sanya. Your mind can arise mental thinking, mental activity, mental states, mental intention, mental volition. Whatever that your mind can do, that is sankhara. Then your mind can be conscious. Conscious of what you see, seeing consciousness. Conscious of what you hear, smell, taste, tactile feeling thing. That is vijnanam. That's why rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara and vijnanam, he say. These five aggregates of form and mind, they are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, following nature's law. Paticca samuppada. He called it the law of dependent origination, dwelling. When you meditate, you can realize this truth. You can awaken to this truth. When you are mindful, aware, silent, you will come to realize. Feeling come and go. You never die. So how can feeling be you? Likewise, perception, sankhara, activity of mind and conscience, they come and go. You never die. And this rupa form, make of element, no knowing, how can it be you? It goes the way of nature. That's why in the five daily contemplation, the Buddha say, you have to contemplate and reflect. This body of mind is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. It's never me. It goes the way of nature. And all that you think you own will one day separate from you. That is the fourth daily contemplation. But the last daily contemplation is very important. Is that we are all born of our karma. Heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. That is the most powerful contemplation regarding the law of karma. If you understand this law, what must you do? You must take care of karma. Isn't it? Our entire life depends on karma. You are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are because of it. That's why you take care of karma means you follow the advice of the Buddha. Why? The advice of the Buddha is just to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. The famous Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadan secitta pariyottapanam etang buddhana sasana. The Buddha say, sabbe is all. All evil, akaranam, you have to avoid. Then all wholesomeness, you have to cultivate. Then the last one is purify your mind. Sacitta pariyottapanam. So avoiding all evil is to avoid evil karma. Then do good, cultivate wholesomeness is to develop wholesomeness. That's a noble eightfold path. Is the path that leads to the end of all suffering. And that is the meditation. That's why under this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, when the Buddha started this teaching, he said there are two extremes you need to avoid. Sensual indulgence and self-mortification. You have to tread the middle path. And he said this middle path is none other than the Noble Eightfold Path. The first power factor is right view or right understanding. When your view is right, it will lead to right thought, right speech, right action. And what are the three right views? Right view with regards to law of karma. That's how his teaching come about. Avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. And how to avoid all evil? Keep the precept. Just now, the monk administered the precept to you. Why keep the precept? Because the precepts are major evil that you have to avoid. And what constitutes evil? The Buddha said the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion constitute evil. And you have to expand on it. What is greed? Greed is not just greediness. Greed is beyond, way, way beyond. All of your craving, desire, covetousness, grasping, clinging, the things that you hold on to, these are your greed, including all your selfish thinking, selfish emotion, selfishness. Everything that you want to take advantage of, they are greed. Then when you understand this, you will know how to cultivate. That's why the Buddha said, to cultivate, you must develop heedfulness. Just now the monk, when he go through the teaching, he said, apamadena sampadeta. This is the last advice of the Buddha before his parinibbana. He told the monk, strive on with heedfulness. And what is heedfulness? Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. And that is what heedfulness is all about. That's why heedfulness has two parts, constantly meditative, ever mindful. That's why you need to train your mind to develop this mindfulness, stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That is what meditation is all about. And if you do that, you will awaken, the Buddha said. So I have finished the first Noble Truth proclamation. Yeah? Now we come to the second Noble Truth. The second Noble Truth, the Buddha said, there is a cause behind all suffering. Whatever suffering that you encounter, there is a cause. And the cause is craving, born of self-delusion, nothing else. So it's an extension of the first Noble Truth. The final summary. Then the third Noble Truth, the Buddha says, suffering need not be. Suffering is optional. There is a Noble Truth that explains to us clearly the Noble Truth of enlightenment. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. You don't have to wait till after death. That's why in the salutation to the Dhamma, the Buddha explained it very clearly. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. Then he says, this Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko, ehipaseko, opanaiko, pacetang, veditampo, vinohiti. So it means this enlightenment, sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now before you die. And you can put it to test. You can understand them. That's why this teaching is very powerful. So if I know enlightenment in the here and now is possible, I will go all out to cultivate this teaching. That's why your faith in the Buddha becomes unshakable. Because he is such a wise being, perfect in wisdom and virtue. You can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to arise. To have him as our teacher, our faith, our gratitude, and our trust in him is so strong, unshakable. That's why your faith in him is unshakable. Then you will go all out to develop the saddha, the first spiritual faculty. He said there are five spiritual faculty that you need to develop spiritual teaching, to understand spiritual teaching. The first is to have the faith in him and his teaching. Because of his perfection, his teaching can bring about enlightenment in the here and now. That's why sanditiko. So once we know that enlightenment is possible, we would like to know how can we realize it. True or not? Eh? You want to know? Do you want to know? So the fourth Noble Truth gives you the answer. The Buddha not only tell you that it's possible, he said, there is this Noble Eightfold Path. You cultivate it, you can realize the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and now. No more suffering for you. And why are these called Noble Eightfold Path? Well, they are noble in all aspects of life. The first path factor is right view, right understanding of life. You understand all of nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why the Panchayama you understand. And with right view, you will know the law of karma. You will not violate this law of karma. That's why it will condition your right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then you will go all out with the virya, spiritual zeal, to cultivate the four right effort. And the four right effort, you know, the first two is to abandon the unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech and action that has already arisen. Then later on, as you develop the first and second turning wisdom, the initial wisdom, yonisomanasikara, you can prevent the arising of this unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech and unwholesome action. That's why it's very powerful. Then the next two right effort is right effort to cultivate the virtue that are still not in you. The right speech, right action and right thought and right livelihood that are still not in you. You will know how to cultivate them. Then you will understand what constitutes wholesomeness, virtue. Whatever mind state they are, without the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, they are wholesome thought. They are virtuous thought. Then the last right effort is very easy. Right effort to refine upon and perfect all this right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that you already have cultivated. Then with that, the last two power factors is sama, sati, and sama, samadhi, which is right mindfulness and right samadhi. If you know how to develop mindfulness and stabilize it, you will understand what samadhi is. When samadhi is developed, sati and samadhi allow you to see things as they are and you will awaken. The wisdom will arise, panya, the last spiritual faculty. So now I have finished the first turning. Yeah? I covered everything. What is the second turning? Anybody knows what is the second turning? Yeah? How did the Buddha turn the Four Noble Truths under the second turning? Maybe most of you haven't heard before. Okay, I will go into this. So the Buddha said, if after hearing his proclamation, his teaching, you cannot awaken, you cannot really develop the understanding to become enlightened, what must you do? You have to reflect, you have to contemplate, and you have to inquire into his teaching. So here is about reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. And if you do this, what type of wisdom arises? Wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth. What type of wisdom is that? Very good. Cintamaya panya. How do you cultivate this? Take for example the first noble truth. The first noble truth is very important, very powerful. The eighth reality. You have to inquire through what? Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Do you agree with him? Yeah? Do you agree birth is suffering? Oh, sure. Why? Why? Any mic for her? You want to try? Do you have a mic for her? I help you first. The mic is here. Because with birth comes what? With birth comes what? With birth comes what? After you are born, what do you experience? Old age, sickness and death, isn't it? All the other reality is there. That's why birth is suffering. Another aspect of birth is suffering is what? When we confront birth, we always think of the good thing. No? Oh, I'm going to be a dad. I'm going to be a mom. I'm going to have a baby. Then the in-law, the parent, I'm going to be a grandpa. I will have a grandchild. But you never think of the other side of the possibility. What happens if there is complication? What happens if it doesn't materialize? Then what happens if the birth comes with problems? Suffering arises because of attachment, self-delusion. That's why the Buddha realized this. Then for mother who have gone through the birth process, they will understand why the birth process is suffering. You think easy to give birth? A lot of suffering. The birth process itself is full of suffering. And the first thing that the child did is what? Cry. Then when you carry the baby during pregnancy, the morning sickness, you have to sacrifice a lot of things as a mother. And there's a lot of suffering that comes with it. The morning sickness and all those things. It limits your movement. Then if you fall, there's a lot of problem. That's why when you reflect, you contemplate, you allow all this recollection of what the birth process is. That's why when you recollect through your mind, which is in the creative state, when you are quiet, alone, creative, you reflect. Then you start to understand. Then you start to see. No wonder the Buddha said birth is suffering. Well, these are the reality that happen during pregnancy. These are the reality that happens in life. It can be tested. It stand up to investigate. That's why birth is suffering. Then old age, sickness and death is very traumatic. We know. We understand. But how many of you dare to confront it? Can have the wisdom to stand up to it and yet free your mind. Not be affected by it. If you have this teaching, it's possible. That's why this inquiry, reflection, contemplation is very important. Because you go through it, you recollect through life experience what these things are. Then you start to develop the understanding of life. Then your understanding will bring forth the straightening of you, leading to what they call the initial wisdom. So this first and second turning wisdom, Sutamaya Panya and Chintamaya Panya, if you do it constantly, you will develop a lot of understanding. So after I reflected and contemplated, I realized all this teaching can be understood clearly. It's just like when you start to reflect and contemplate, you start to stabilize what you have heard under the first turning. True or not? You start to stabilize them. Then after this understanding stabilize, you assimilate them into your nature. And once it goes into your nature, it's no more memory. It's not a knowledge anymore. It's an understanding. And this is what the Buddha called Yoniso Manasikara. When these two wisdom you add together, they will give you the initial wisdom. Yoniso Manasikara. So this is the initial wisdom. And this initial wisdom is very powerful. When you confront life, the first noble truth reality, whatever the eight reality, when they come, straight away it will prompt you, this initial wisdom. The five daily contemplation will arise and prompt you. This body is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. It's not me. That's why you will know how to make use of this physical body to live life and don't have to worry about life. Means what? Don't have to worry about it getting sick, getting die, or getting old and die. But this is not you. If you need to take care, take care. It's just like your car. It's the car you. You are the owner. That car is not you. So this physical body is like the vehicle that takes you around. But you are like the owner inside. So when the car has problem, it's not you, isn't it? It's the car. So what do you do? Send to a good mechanic. Need to claim insurance claim. Do what you have to do. But you don't go and cry and lament over it, isn't it? unless you attach so much to your car. Maybe the attachment is to the money, the pocket, because you need to pay for the repair. And sometimes you get angry because you think that car belonged to you. It was never yours. It's only society's convention. Apparently, because you buy, society's law say you own, but you never own anything, like the Buddha said. My son, my wealth, my property. This only the fools lament, foolish people. For that very body also doesn't belong to him, wherein son, wherein body, wherein wealth. So all this understanding will be there. Then when you meditate, you realize the three characteristics of nature, of impermanent, suffering state, and empty nature or non-self nature. Then you will start to understand, he know you, he know me. No one born, no one sick, no one die. It's only the form and mind, subject to karma. There's a duty that you have to do. Then with the essential Dhamma understanding, you live life. You understand life. That's why you can develop a lot of understanding of life, leading to all the good life that you want to have. Because you know how to arise them through nature's law. To tell you the truth, initially, before I came to know about the title of this talk, which was yesterday when Suyan WhatsApp me, all along I was telling my Kayamita, I supposed to give another talk. Success in life following the Dhamma way. Then when Suyan text me, I said, no problem. I integrate them together. Then I will use this title for today. Because it is related. When you understand these three turning, you develop the wisdom, you will understand life. Then when you understand life, you know how to live life. True or not? When you know how to live life, you can live the noble life of an enlightened being. Noble life of peace, happiness, joy, free of suffering, full of understanding, wisdom, tranquility, peace. And you can be a blessing to all. No more of the agitated state of mind, worry, fear, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, stressful, chasing around. Life need not be that way. Life can be meaningful, beautiful, and wonderful if you understand. Then to develop success in life, in whatever you venture into or work towards, you can do it when you understand the Dhamma, because you understand nature's law. That's why you must realize it through the Dhamma way, which is the righteous way, not the crooked way. Crooked way has its karmic repercussion. It will hit back. So after you have understood the first and second turning, the Buddha said, there is a third turning. Before I go into this third turning, I would like to maybe develop a bit of a deeper understanding of the turning. This second turning, for all the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha have a different emphasis. That's why under this second turning, the first Noble Truth or Dukkha, the Buddha say, this first Noble Truth or Dukkha is to be understood. This word is very important. Pause. Oh, yeah. Thank you. The S is missing, huh? Thank you, Angie. Yeah. Why did he say it's to be understood? Because a lot of Buddhists, I realize, when they ask you what is the Four Noble Truth, you only know how to chant the four things. Dukkha, Samudaya, Nirodha, Magga. If you know Pali. If you don't know Pali, maybe some English word. Suffering, cause of suffering, end of suffering, and the path that lead to the end of suffering. But do you really understand them? That is what the Buddha meant. He said, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. Means you must go through all the eight realities that I explained just now. inside the first proclamation, then reflect and contemplate into each and every of those truths. That is the training. If you do that, you will realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. Guaranteed. Yes, the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23 confirmed that. Appamadavagga. Under Dhammapada verse 21, he said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So to be heedful, you have to develop the training of the mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. If you are heedful, the Buddha said you are destined for enlightenment. Dhammapada verse 23 confirmed. You will realize enlightenment. That's why I say it's possible. Then the second the verse 22 re-emphasize verse 21. He said, the wise one who intend on heedfulness, they will rejoice in the realm of the enlightened one, the Aryas. That's why you will definitely become enlightened. So all these are related. Then the second turning, he said the cause of dukkha, which is craving, is to be what? Huh? It's to be severe, isn't it? But some use the word abandoned. But a better word should be cease. You should cease it through wisdom, through understanding. That's why this second turning, you have to reflect, contemplate, then you ask yourself, why? Why must I abandon it? If I don't abandon, it will cause me suffering. True or not? That's why you have to abandon it. So how to abandon? That's what the third turning is all about. The third turning will teach you how to do it. But the third turning is about meditation. Yeah. So third turning is about meditation. The direct seeing. So this one will lead to what type of wisdom? Yeah? The third type is what? Bhavana, Maya, Panya. As you all know, Bhavana is meditative training. So wisdom born of the meditative training. This is Bhavana, Maya, Panya. So this one, it's the first noble truth, second noble truth. Then the third noble truth, the Buddha actually continue under the second turning. You all cannot see the red color. Maybe I use blue. Under the second turning, the third noble truth, this cessation of suffering or dukkha, this cessation of suffering, of dukkha, which is the enlightenment, nibbana. Is to be what? Realize, very good. You have to realize it. If you don't realize it, it's of no use. Then the fourth one is what? This Noble Eightfold Path is to be what? Very good. Cultivated. If you don't cultivate it, it will not serve you. He will not help you. Do you understand? That's why this second turning is very powerful. Contemplative wisdom is very important. And because of all this emphasis, you will strive on to develop the third turning. Because he said the enlightenment, yeah, in the here and the now, Nibbana, is to be realized. How can you realize? You have to cultivate the meditation, the four foundations of mindfulness. If you go into the Avijja Sutta, this Avijja Sutta is very important also. This is a sutta on ignorance. You can go and Google this one. Avijja is ignorant. They got two cycles. They got the ignorant cycle followed by the enlightenment sequence, which is the cycle that you need to understand. He said, under this Avijja Sutta, the Buddha said, there are 10 steps to enlightenment. What is the first step? You all have to have Dhamma friends. You should have, right? Most of your friends are Dhamma friends. Not Macau friends. Dhamma friends. Step two is what? You also have. Because you have Dhamma friends, the Buddha said, you will have opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma, which is what you are doing. And step three is what? When you listen to the true Dhamma, you develop the first turning and second turning wisdom. That is how you cultivate. You develop the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. And this is step four. When all this you reflect, contemplate, and you stand up to investigation, what happened to your faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha? Very strong, isn't it? And that is step three. Step three is faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. So step four is yoniso manasikara. When you have this initial wisdom, then your mind becomes different. At the moment of sense experience, this yoniso manasikara, which is wisdom at the moment of sense experience, will arise and prompt you. Prompt you. And tell you. Sabbe sankara anicang. Sabbe sankara dukkang. Sabbe dhamma anatta. Straight away the defilement cease. Because you have no more self-delusion, ignorant. You understand the teaching. So because of this, your mind will not stir like before, react to sense experience, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. You no longer get agitated with life. You become more and more at peace, more and more calm, more and more quiet in the way you approach life. So this tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, and the silent mind, which is the meditative mind, will arise. That's how your daily mindfulness come to be. Sati, stabilize. Then when you understand the four types of clear comprehension, sati, sampajana will arise. That's why the fifth step, after yoniso manasikara, is sati, sampajana. When you have sati, sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension in the midst of life, your mind become very different. You can see things very clearly and you understand what constitutes evil. That's why you can have the four right effort to abandon them, to prevent them from arising. And you can cultivate virtue. And because of that, the next step, sixth step, step six is sense restraint. You can have sense restraint. By then, your precept is in order. You can never break that precept. After that, you are at least a sotapan. And because of the sense restraint, the next step, step seven, the Buddha said, is the three way of right conduct. You can have right thought, right speech, right action all the time. No more problem. And then eighth step is the third turning. Eighth step is the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. That's why under the sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness, you must be mindful of the opening statement. After overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you can cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. Kaya nupassana, Vedana nupassana, Chitta nupassana, followed by Dhamma nupassana. That's how the whole teaching are connected and linked. Then when you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness with the stability of Yoniso Manasika and Sati Sampajana, you will have the enlightenment factor keep on arising. The seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. Then you know you're on the right path. And that is step nine. Then after that, the Buddha said, enlightenment in the here and the now, 10 steps will arise. Okay? So with that, I will end my today sharing.
Sadhu. Brother and sisters, may I know, do you have any questions for Brother Teo?
Yeah. Brother Teo, I am just a bit curious. The first, let me see. Now, talking about the Four Noble Truths, what you have gone through with us, devotees, that we have some sort of, like, I for one, I feel that as far as knowledge, definitely there's knowledge on the Four Noble Truths. As we go through our experience, we find that it works based on experience and knowledge. But
okay.
Then, is there any possibility of a glimpse of the Four Noble Truths? Because it's not an easy thing to understand, because only through deeper understanding in meditation, then you have a glimpse of the Four Noble Truths. But what we know is only we are grasping on the surface side only.
I understand your question. Thank you. Don't worry. I will explain that. I think this is very common. Most people think Dhamma knowledge can help. Definitely it can help. But Dhamma knowledge, like the word knowledge, is still knowledge. Your knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge is rigid. Wisdom is not rigid. When you have wisdom, you have the understanding. It's no longer a knowledge. You no longer want to argue with people. Yeah, that is the truth. That is the reality. That is what wisdom is all about. That's why wisdom can arise in many ways, many forms. Your condition different, things will be different. But knowledge is rigid. You hold on to knowledge. Then the question brings about another condition for me to explain. According to the teaching, the Buddha mentioned, there are three stages of Dhamma training. You heard of these three or not? Three phases of Dhamma. I think it's in the logo of the Brickfield Temple. Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. You heard of this three? Have you heard of this three? You haven't heard of this three? Oh, okay, never mind. Then I introduce it to you. Pariyatti is the learning of the teaching. So what is learning of the teaching? You learn the teaching. You study the teaching. Like you say, learn with knowledge first. So this first turning is actually pariyatti. You learn the teaching. But if you are not cultivated before in the past, that glimpse cannot happen. You understand? The glimpse of Nibbana is possible. Even now, it's possible. It's just one moment of cessation of form and mind. Then there is a change of lineage. From a Putujana, you transform. The form and mind transform into an Arya. And most of these glimpses, when it happens, the stages of enlightenment is either first or second stage of sainthood. Sotapanna-ship and Sakadagami-ship. So this pariyatti, first phase of Dhamma is to study the learning of the teaching. The Buddha said, you learn the teaching. Whatever he proclaimed, you learn. And this is still knowledge. But as you go to second turning, when you reflect and contemplate and stabilize the understanding, it's no longer knowledge. It's an understanding. You have reflected, you have contemplated, you have recollected life experience. Then you have related to his teaching. Then you realize that this teaching stands up to investigation. That's why the second turning wisdom is very powerful. First and second turning will give you the base to receive truth. That's why when you have the first two, the Avijja Sutta make it very clear. From Yoniso Manasikara step 4, you will go to step 5, which is daily mindfulness and clear comprehension. Sati Sampajana. Then these two, you have sense restraint. You can become a sotapan after that. Your mindfulness is so stable. You understand what constitutes evil. And that understanding is a very wide base, not knowledge base. Initially, with knowledge, you can solve a little bit of your normal human problem. But you cannot solve the real problem. Especially people with very, very severe First Noble Truth Reality suffering. People who are in depression. People who have traumatic life experience. Their fear, the phobia is very intense. So under those cases, knowledge cannot. Because last time I remember, there was one. It is also a very senior Dhamma friend. I think he has been in the Dhamma for very long. Then he suddenly had this health problem. He landed in the hospital, medical center. Then one of my Kayamita know him. He checked with me, "Brad, do you want to go and see him or not?" I said, "Can." Then we went and see him. Do you know what he told us or not? He has this prostate problem. The prostate enlargement was so bad he cannot pee. So painful. So landed in the hospital. Then they did this blood test. Then after that, I think they don't know what they do. They released that pressure. Then he was relieved for a while. But the doctor told him, chances is you have severe cancer. At least stage 3 or stage 4. You know what he told me? You know? He said, "Brother, when I heard that, all my Dhamma knowledge gone." He said, "My whole face puchat. I don't know what to do." He said, "For 1 week waiting for the biopsy. Huh? Biopsy result. For 1 whole week, he can't sleep. He panicked like anything. The thought project, worry. He just retired from a very, very well-paid job, you know, to enjoy life, you know, and he had this thing. That's why he told me, "Brother, what you say is true. Knowledge can never free." And he's a very senior guy, you know. If I'm not wrong, he's president of one of the Buddhist society. You know. And it can be so bad, so traumatic, because that is knowledge. But when you really have the understanding, the wisdom, the awakening, you will not react. You will know this one is never you. This one is just a vehicle and a tool, karmically conditioned for you to come to this world, to live life, to experience life, to go through life, maybe for some of you to pay back karma, because that is your karmic debt. But some, to experience the fruition of your wholesome deed. That's why you have happy moments too. You have good life too. Good karmic inheritance. So this type of wisdom, they will arise slowly. So Pariyatti is initially you learn the teaching, then you go to the second turning, which is the initial training. So that falls under Patipatti. After you have learned the teaching, the Buddha said, you must put this teaching into practice. You must cultivate it. That's why Patipati is about cultivation of the teaching. That's why Chintamayapanya is the cultivation. But to have the very potent awakening, the direct seeing, the wisdom that is very penetrative, you have to meditate. You silence your mind until this silent mind can really awaken to phenomena, to the universal characteristics of all phenomena. Through that silence, it all of a sudden will awaken, because the first and second turning understanding or wisdom initially will prepare you to receive truth. That's why during the Buddha's time, sometimes they heard something, they awakened. The fire sermon, you remember? How many of those monks become arahant after hearing the fire sermon? The Buddha just told them, everything is burning. With what is it burning? With the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. The eye is burning. The ear is burning. Then he go to the smell, the taste, the tactile, and the thought. Then he say, eye consciousness is burning. Hearing consciousness is burning. Just from all this, six sandals, they become arahant. It's because they have cultivated before. They only need to have the truth spoken by an enlightened being like the Buddha. Then they will awaken. That's why the second phase of Dhamma, Patipatti, is very important. You have to put it into practice through the second turning and the third turning. And when you do it, you can awaken. And then the third phase of Dhamma is the best, Pativeda. The Buddha said, if you can finish the first and second stage or phase, then you get to live the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, the life of an enlightened being. You get to reap the fruit of your hard work. Yeah. Means you get to live the life of an enlightened being, free from suffering, with all the beautiful understanding. That's why life becomes meaningful, wonderful. And you can get to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Then from there onward, you will not have any more suffering or misery or whatever thing that happened to the world, to you, to your loved one, it will not affect you at all. You understand clearly. Everything within the conditioned world, they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, no reality. He no you, he no me, anatta. So all this, you will come to understand. But you have to go through the phases of cultivation, the stages of cultivation, for you to develop the understanding. Otherwise, the only means of learning is just your mundane mind. You know what is mundane mind, huh? Your normal thinking mind. You have not realized the true mind, which is beyond thought, beyond time. That's why the Buddha called it akaliko. This Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time. So when you develop knowledge, it's thought-based. It's from the thought. Is still within the mundane existential world. But when you realize it through the unconditioned, then it's no more thought. It's the direct seeing, the nature awakened, and the understanding is wisdom, it's not a knowledge. Connected to the form and mind. That's why you can say this form and mind is enlightened. But this form and mind is not you, because it's just the five aggregates of form and mind, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Okay? Hope I have answered your question. Yeah.
Good morning, Brother Teo. I have a question about the ego. I think, you know, in terms of the three universal laws of nature, we know that we have the understanding that all phenomena comes to non-self, you know, there's no, it's anatta. But I think, you know, from my reflection, I look at the, you know, conflicts arising in the world today, everywhere, you know, whether it's abroad or locally, is a lot of ego involved. You know, there's a lot of denial that people are
What is your question?
Ego.
What is your question?
My question is that there's no truthfulness. You know, the in terms of the truthfulness to realize, and in as a Buddhist, how can Buddhists be truthful to themselves that they are really conquering the ego and they realize the concept of non-self in everything. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. You see, this egoic mind, they are there because of your ignorance, self-delusion. That's why you say from your cultivation you realize not only you yourself, even other people, they have this ego within. So ego is a personality that cling on to a concept that you exist. So according to the Buddha, everything starts from here. Self-delusion, sakkayadity. When you have this concept of a self that you exist, you create an egoic mind, an atta. Self. So when you think you exist, what will happen? The evil root will arise. True or not? Because you will want to own thing, possess thing, control thing. That's why all the thinking is selfish. All the thought process that come from it is because of the evil root. The evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. So the Dhamma teaching is for you to see that this is a delusion. There is no such thing as a being inside. But it's not easy. Your living being has been using their mundane mind, thinking mind for so long. They always have this wrong thought that tell them, I exist. If I don't exist, how come I can have thought process? I can think. I can develop the emotion, the feeling and all those things. How can you say this is not me? I want to do whatever I can. I want to run, I want to jump, I can. I want to commit suicide also, I can. Why you say it's not me? So how do you develop the understanding to let them understand that this is an illusion? They will never believe you, because they have not seen the truth. But when you meditate, you silence your mind, you go into the stillness, then you will start to see the dependent origination, like the Buddha said. From the stillness, the thought arises. We always believe that there is a thinker behind the thought. True or not? Do you believe there is a thinker behind the thought? Who thinks? Is it you think? What is thought? What is thought? How does thought arise? When you are initially born as a baby, do you realize you got no thought? Then how did thought arise? Then what is thought? Who are you? What are you? That's why you have to meditate. The Buddha said, you're silent. When you're silent, then you start to see the formation of thought, the beginning of thought. Then you start to realize that actually all these thoughts are dependent originating. They respond to a memory. Without memory, there is no thought. How do you perceive things? How do you know it's a Buddha image? How do you know my voice? How do you perceive it? Through memory. Do you understand? Without the memory, there is no thought. So thought is respond to memory. So do you need a thinker to arise thought. Because thought is respond to memory. You don't need a thinker to arise thought, isn't it? You must meditate until you realize this. Then you will come to understand why the Buddha say, everything in this universe, they have these universal characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering, if you grasp, cling, and attach. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call this is me, this is I. That's why it is non-self, empty. It's not you. The form and mind is just a form and mind, karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world. But this one exists. The Buddha never said it don't exist. Except it says it's non-self. He never even say no self, no. Non-self means not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can say this is me. But it keep on changing. Do you understand? Your whole physical body, your whole mental processes, your whole consciousness is in a state of flux. Keep on evolving, changing. Since young until now, you can never deny that you are all the way from birth until now, you have lived that phase of life, isn't it? True or not? But it's your views, your opinion, and your conditioning, and your mental accumulation of knowledge the same as when you are young. Every phase you change, understand or not? You become different, you become different. Then for somebody who go through accident when their brain, certain part damaged, they lost their function and their memory. Then you will start to understand that this is dependent originating. The physical body has a role, the brain has a role, the organ, everything has a role. The consciousness is a separate part. That's why you have to meditate to understand all this. Then you will come to understand the mundane mind is a result of that pure nature or true nature within. That nature is the unconditioned. It never dies. It's eternal life. But you have to realize that nature to understand all this existential world outside. If you have not gone in deep enough with the meditative experience and understanding and realize the cessation, you cannot understand. That's why the third noble truth, this cessation of dukkha, which is nibbana, is to be understood. So there is no way you can teach them how not to be selfish, how not be egoic, because as long as they still have that sakyarity, self-delusion, they cannot. They will cling on to that. They will become selfish. That's why all this, the Buddha said, you have to walk the path and realize the truth yourself. He can only show you the way. Buddha merely showed the way. There's a Buddhist hymn on that too. You yourself must walk the path. Buddha merely showed the way. You heard of this hymn, isn't it? Now you understand. That's why the Mahayana say, 个人吃饭，个人饱. Correct or not? I cannot eat on your behalf, isn't it? You're still hungry, isn't it? But if you eat, your hunger is gone. So meditation is the same. You have to cultivate. Okay?
Thank you very much, Brother Teo. We really have a very insightful on these three turnings and the four noble truths.
I forgot. I got some books for people who are interested. These are my transcript book of my talk. They are very useful. Even these three turnings, there's one book. You bring them, I will show them. You can collect them. They are for free distribution. Donated by Kayanamitas. Take them all up. No need to rush. If no more, you can ask from us. We still have them. This is the book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. I think it's based on a compilation of email that people wrote to me in the early 2000 something. So this one, inside there is a three turning of the Four Noble Truths. One American lady from Damasuka asked the question, then I answer her. It's all inside here. Then you also can have all the other books about the five aggregate of form and mind. Then final summary of the Satipatthana Sutta. Then the heart and the mind. Yeah? Then about meditation and all those things. Then this is a very good book. This is a seminar that I delivered in 1983 in Bangkok. It's an international seminar on success in life following the Buddhist teaching. Yeah. And this one is in the year August 2013. You read through, you will know. It's a very good book. It summarizes to you all the teaching inside here. But after that, you need to go and cultivate yourself. It only summarizes for you. But when you read, you will understand the beauty of the Buddhist teaching. Then there is one on meditation, bhavana. You can have them. Okay. Need to rush. After that, you can just pick it up. Then if you need more, just let us know. Also, another thing before I forget. You want to know more about my sharing, you can go to this website. Our website, brotherteo.com. You just Google this one. Then the whole website will come out. There's a menu. Then you click on homepage, it's the latest talk. Then about us, you read through. The Abhijja Sutta is there also. Then there is this activity, the repository of all the Dhamma talk, Dhamma sharing, the audio file, the video file, and all the publication, the books, they are all for free distribution. If you see them, you want a copy, you just let us know. You can contact any of the Kayanamitta, then they can arrange for you to have them. Then I forgot one last thing. The third turning, the Buddha also emphasized on all this. The second turning one. But the third turning, he said, the first noble truth of dukkha, instead of to be understood, he changed to has been understood. Has been understood means what? He has understood what suffering is, the cause of its arising, the cessation, the path that leads to the cessation. That's why he has understood the Four Noble Truths. It leads to enlightenment. That's why it's bhavana mayapanya. Then the second noble truth, the cause of arising of suffering, instead of is to be abandoned or severed, has been abandoned or severed. So the third turning is all about enlightenment. Then this cessation of suffering or dukkha, which is to be realized, has been realized. That is the third turning. Then the last one, instead of Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated, his third turning has been cultivated. Means you have already cultivated. That's why it's all about enlightenment. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you again, Brother Teo. Shall we say a bit, three times sadhu to Brother Teo? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now before we shall chant the transfer of merits. Please turn to page 103.
Okay.
Akasatta cha bhummata Devanaga Mahitika Punyantang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakkantu Lokasasana Chirang Rakkantu Desana Chirang Rakkantu Mapparam Etawata Cha Amhehi Sampadam punya sampadam sabbe deva sabbe
Sabbe Satta, Sabbe Buddha, Anumodantu, Sabbe Sampatti Siddhiya. Idam me yatinam hotu, Sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idam me yatinam hotu, Sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idam me yatinam hotu, Sukhita hontu nyatayo. Imam no punya bagang, Mata pitu nanche, Acharya nanche, Sabba satta nanche, Sabba mita nanche, Sabba nyati nanche, Sabba peta nanche, Sabba devata nanche, Bajema. Imano punya bagang sabba satta nandema sabbe satta sukita hontu imina punya kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu Yava nibbana pattiya idam me punyang asavakaya vahang hotu idam me punyang nibbanassa baccayo hotu devo vassatu kalena sassa sampatti hotu ca Pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavantu dhammiko Imaya dhammanu dhamma patipatiya buddhaṃ pujemi Imaya dhammanu dhamma patipatiya Dhammang pujemi imaya dhammanu dhamma patipattiya sanggang pujemi imaya dhammanu dhamma patipattiya mata pitaro pujemi Imaya dhammanu dhamma patipattiya acariye pujemi sadhu sadhu sadhu
Thank you brothers and sisters we have ended our puja Before we leave, shall we pay respect to the three jewels? Buddhaṃ pujemi, Dhammaṃ pujemi, Sanghaṃ pujemi, Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Excuse me, brothers, the cushion on this side, please leave it. Can you help me to clear the other side? Yeah. Yeah, this side cushion don't clear. Hello, brother, this side don't clear. Leave it.